What else would you possibly expect? It's the news. According to me. I interrupted you there for that music. Good morning. It is Tuesday, March 25th, 9.03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home studio. Now, this week, I'm sure there will be a time when I will be able to do the show from the worldwide headquarters in the downtown metropolis of Elkhart, Indiana. It's not downtown, I guess. It's in town. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We'll see what happens. I have... I can't guarantee anything. There's no guarantees with this show. Obviously, if you know, you get what you pay for. Let's put it that way. Yeah. There's no advertising. You don't have to listen to advertisements. You don't have to listen to... This comes to you advertisement-free. It's just 100% content. We just don't know what the content is. It's like when you go to the store and you buy a box of snacks or a bag of snacks and doesn't say anything about what the contents are. You're just buying a box. It just says snacks on the bag. That's all it says. That's the show. That's the, there you go. It's just a show and you don't know what's going to be. You don't know what's going to be in it. And you don't know what the content's made of. It's, you know, there's contents in there. You just don't know what it's going to be made of and whether or not it's going to be good for you. Yeah. It might make you sick. You never know. You just never know. It's in there. It's like
we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
It's kind of like people who buy a car to find out what it's like to drive it. It's like people who buy a tool to find out how well it works. It's like you go pay for a college course without knowing how good the college is, or where it is, for that matter.
I'm going to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
So the mentality we're dealing with these people. We have, in my cup this morning, I have chai with Almond Joy creamer. Thank you very much. It's cooled off a little bit. I spent a little bit too much time monkeying around trying to get the show ready to go. And my backup cup here, I do have some sweet tea from Chick-fil-A, I purchased yesterday. It's almost all gone. It's pretty much watered down now. Today, I plan on making some more sweet tea. I have 4 days to get some things done this week. And, of course, it's going to be cold every day, so I can't do a whole lot outside. I think it's 27 degrees outside right now. I think. Unless it went up to 28. It's supposed to be 70 on Friday, but it's raining on Friday. Up until then, it's been the highest, I think, is going to be the 41 or something like that before the rain starts, and then it's going to get warm. And then, of course, the grass will start growing, and it'll be cold again or messy or whatever by the time I get done with my next trip, and it'll be I have to come back. The only other thing that might happen this week, just because you need to know, because everybody needs to know my business. Somebody has to know. Nobody else knows, so I might as well tell you. Because it's just me and you here, you know. We're looking at another car. I don't know if I'm going to get, there's one on the East Coast. Both of them are in Portland. Portland, Maine, and Portland, Oregon. There's one in Portland, Oregon. I really kind of like. It's not. It's just so far away. It is a little more expensive. Not much more. It is a little more expensive, and it has about half the mileage on it, and it's got a hitch, which I really like. It is a little bit older. The newer one, but it's older, but it has has fewer miles. The one out on the East Coast in Portland, Maine, has more mileage, which is the only downside on that one. It is newer, a one owner, and it's a little less expensive. However, it has no hitch, and it has had some work done to it that kind of causes me to wonder about it a little bit because it's just they have two different types of engines in each one of them, which is fine. But either one's okay, but. I'm trying to decide on between these two. Now, there's hopefully something else will come up somewhere that will be the perfect one. I don't know. The one out, if all things were the same, if they were right here in town, I'd definitely go with the one that's out in Portland, Oregon. But it's going to take me 2 days to get the car back. I have to fly out there, drive it back. It's going to be quite a road trip. And, of course, there's always the chance of something going, you know, awry with that. You never know what you're going to hit. Putting another 2,000 miles on the thing. However, it's a good time to get, you know, kind of get the thing broke in and kind of figure it all out. Out there in the middle of nowhere. But I waste a couple of days off just being gone, which is not too big of a deal right now, this week, because my little buddy, my little 85-pound buddy, puppy, is off at school for a couple weeks. So he won't miss me. He's off having fun, playing with his little friends, learning everything he needs. When he comes back, he will be the perfect dog. I hope. Better be. I want my money back. He better do everything I tell him to do, or he's going back to school. Maybe that's where he wants to go. I don't know. It's so. Yeah, there you go. A lot of things happening. The one thing I didn't do was connect up my phone with my Bluetooth. I probably should have done that. I do have. There's a couple things that are. There we go. I'm going to push this button here. Where's it at? There it is. There we go. Blink. There we go. It's blue light. That's what I wanted to see. I have, there's some interesting things happening. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, you've got everything from Pete Hegseth. Let's just get this out there real quick. He supposedly, he's under the gun. Now, this is a weird situation. They use this app called Signal. Now, Signal is used by a lot of government officials because supposedly the security is really good on Signal, and it deletes the messages after so long. Any messages you put on there, it deletes them after a certain amount of time. And it was kind of designed by government officials, I guess, or by some kind of as a use for government officials. And I know some people I know a guy who worked in a highly classified position, a relative of mine. He said, yeah, use that app. I don't trust it. Now, anything the government has designed, including everything on Google, Google basically is now an Alphabet organization. And Alphabet, of course, is highly funded. It's very shadowy as to how Google was started by some guys in a garage and then sold out to some company and all of a sudden became huge. And it's basically the whole, it's a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's facts that it's a black bag funded government front page thing. It's a storefront based on background intelligence gathering. It's not some kind of conspiracy theory. It's so anyway, this company, with all of its, this whole thing, there's just some kind of a scheme about 23andMe, apparently, too. There's some of these places where you go to, you put your DNA, you give them your DNA sample, and they test it and tell you all about it's just everything about your past, what kind of mutt you are. And the interesting part of this is how this information basically is being sold off to other countries. And danger there, of course, is that they can design bioweapons based on killing off certain people based on their genetic information. So they can develop, just weird stuff like that. So that there's just all this. I've never done any of that. I'm not going to do it. Keeping all my DNA to myself. Thank you very much. So there's that kind of stuff. But this Signal thing is, I don't know that I trust it. I had a Signal account. I was using it first. I just kind of screwing around with it. And between me and my nephew, pretty much is all. But I don't have it because I'm trying to do some kind of secret, you know, espionage or anything. I just don't like people. I just don't like the idea of somebody snooping on my stuff. I just don't like it. I'm just kind of stubborn that way. And I don't like the government knowing everything about me. They don't need to know everything about me. And these people who are screaming about Elon Musk, oh, he's got my social security number. He's going to take my money. He's not going to take your money. He doesn't need your money. Well, he's going to take away my social security so he can get more money for himself. This is just so stupid of these people to say these kind of things. They're just, the left has lost its lily-livered mind. And I don't know how else to put it. They've just gone off the deep end. One of the things that really, I guess this is going to turn into a rant. One of the things that really bothers me about stuff that people do on, especially on social media, they go on, they throw these posts on every day. You'll see, oh, new meme, new post, new do this, new that. Oh, look at this. This is information. Oh, this is da, 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 da. Get people all riled up. They get all riled up. Like apparently they're all riled up themselves. And every day, they're posting just crap about stuff that's not true. And you never hear them come back and recant it. way back, I remember one of the first times I kind of saw this whole, that my eyes were kind of open to this whole thing. I had a relative who posted something on social media. This was right after the first election was over. I don't even think Trump had taken office yet in 2017. I think it was just between the 2016 election and the 2017 inauguration. Or maybe it was right after that. It was right at the early point of Trump's first presidency. This lady down in southern Indiana had supposedly moved up to just south of Indianapolis, just out in the country. And she was renting this house, and she had a pretty new car, had this new job. And she put this video out of the vandalism that happened at her house. Somebody came and painted something on the side of her house. There was sugar all around her gas cap. She opened up she was walking around the house showing all the stuff that had happened to her. And she wasn't saying anything. It was just, she'd be very, very quiet. She was doing all this stuff. She opened up her gas cover thing, and her gas cap was in there. And, of course, right around the gas cap was all this sugar that was shown around the gas cap. And, of course, the house was painted with some kind of graffiti, some kind of slurs. The car, I don't think the car was painted, but it was there was some kind of a scratch or something on the car. And there was something else, a couple other things that were, something was tipped over. The yard. This whole thing looked, first of all, if you're going to be serious about being a bigot and being a racist and you're going to let somebody have it, first of all, if you're out walking around in your yard, your first thing you're going to do, I mean, she hadn't even filled out a police report yet. And the first thing you're going to do is go on YouTube or go on TikTok or whatever it was she went on and did this video, because it was posted on Facebook, so I don't know if that's what it was or not. She posted it somewhere on social media, and it got picked up, and all these people were reposting it. And this once removed relative now of mine was a relative of mine posted this and made a big deal about it. This just happened in Indiana. This is the kind of thing that's happening all over. Yeah, it is the kind of thing that's happening all over. It's still happening all over. They had a GoFundMe for this lady. She raised like $80,000. She said, I'm going to have to move out of here. I'm going to have to move back home. I'm going to have to leave my job and all this stuff. Just whatever. She had all this stuff. Apparently, come to find out, none of it was true. She did it all herself. She lost her job because she got fired. She had bought a new car and she wasn't sure how she was going to pay for it. So she needed to do this whole thing. And she, of course, she was going to get kicked out. She couldn't pay her rent on her house. So she did all this stuff to raise money so she could pay for all this stuff. And then, and of course, by the time she had the money, she already had the money. But by the time this all came out, the investigation, she did it herself. This was an early Jesse Smollett. And this, it's not the first time it's ever happened. This, people do this kind of stuff all the time. But it's just, but nowadays it's a little bit easier to catch you because there's cameras everywhere. There's DNA information. There's all kinds of things that you can go after with these people. People get tracked a lot better with these kinds. And in my opinion, I'm going to share this one other event that happened. I'm not sure where it even happened. Some lady working in some government office. And of course, this stuff now, it's all happening now because of Trump's president. And the white national racism, domestic terrorists are out there because they're all emboldened now because Trump is president. Because, you know, that's the biggest issue we face in our country is white racist supremacists. Yeah, that's the biggest problem we suffer from. That's, people get raped and killed every day from, you know, that. Not illegal aliens. They're not, you know, no foreign criminals coming over here. No gang members. It's not gangs from foreign countries. It's, or even our own countries. It's white supremacists. They're looking behind every bush. So this lady apparently went into her office one morning in some government office. And she found what looked like a noose on her desk. Now, first of all, I grew up, okay, I was born in the 60s, early 60s. I'm an old guy. I don't remember nooses being, you know, we would make nooses as kids. We'd screw around with them, how do you make it? It's just, we saw them in Westerns all the time. This is, hangings happened a lot in the Wild West and everywhere else in the culture. That's just how people got, you know, strung up. That's just, they used a noose. And it was an official device for execution in some states. I think it's still on the books in some states. You can still be hung. And they're going to use a noose. And it didn't matter the color of your skin, by the way, just because they happened to use nooses as well to hang slaves and to lynch people with. It wasn't unique just to the African American people of color society. That wasn't an issue. It was just, that's what you use the noose for, killing people, to hang them. I know it's morbid, but that's just what it was for. All of a sudden, it has become this racist thing. It has nothing to do with anything but race. This lady shows up, and on her little desk was this little piece of rope that was in the shape of a noose. And everything started flying apart. Now, I don't know what her job performance was. I don't know what was going on with her work. Maybe she was under threat, and maybe she was being examined for not getting her job done. Maybe she was concerned that her job was going to be cut by Doge. And it's not Doge or Doge or Doge. I've heard a lot of people who are representatives are mispronouncing. It's just Doge. That's what it is, Doge. He named it after the whole Doge coin thing. So I don't know all the background on this thing. I'm just making conjecture because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm also not a civil engineer. But I am a guy with a microphone, has a lot of opinions, and I've got a show. So anyway, this lady, she makes this big deal about it. So guess who shows up? They bust some people in. They make a big demonstration in this town. It becomes this big deal. Of course, it's under federal investigation. All the resources of the federal government and everybody else come down on this town to find out who put this noose on her desk. I guess it's a federal crime to do that. I don't know. Just putting a noose on someone's desk now is apparently a federal crime. Because all kinds of federal resources, taxpayer-dollared resources, get dumped in, and they do start doing DNA tests on the rope. Well, she didn't know they could do that. So they go around and they start taking DNA samples of everybody in the office, and everybody complies. Not one single person. Because they were all, we've got to find this, I don't know what you call them. Perpetrator? I guess. Perpetrator of this crime? Is it a crime? I don't know. Apparently somebody's labeling it with that. So of course, she's fearful now. She can't go to work. And start this rally, and they start, BLM is there, and everything else is there. They're all there. They're all making this big deal out of the whole thing. She was the only one who didn't want to give her a DNA sample, by the way. And then she got a lawyer. The only DNA they found on that rope, on the inside and outside of that knot, was hers. Now, this is topical DNA. It's not like you can't replicate a human with this kind of, it's mitochondrial, I think, or whatever it is. Like I said, I'm not a scientist, not a DNAist. It's the type of DNA that they can get off of it. It was hers. Of course, now to get this kind of, this isn't cheap. These kinds of things and there's a backlog. This was rushed through the testing system. I'll tell you, if you want to start a good business right now, start a DNA testing business. It's expensive, but that would be a good investment because there's work piled up for the next 2 years right now. And I don't see it changing at all. So what ends up happening is she gets, the whole thing gets dropped and everybody just goes away and nobody talks about it. And it's not even in the news. It's like, it just goes away. Now, personally, here's my concern about this kind of thing. And I've heard some other commentators say the same thing. They said exactly what I would have said. And so I'm not really copying their opinions. This is my opinion. People who do this kind of thing, what if someone else had touched that rope? Or what if she had taken that rope out of someone else's desk that she didn't like? And that person had their DNA all over it. That person would have been lynched out of town. They would have been fired. They would have been excommunicated. They would have been socially rejected. I don't know if any charges would have been filed. I don't know if it was a misdemeanor. I don't know what it was. I don't know what kind of crime that is. But I guarantee you that there would have been repercussions on that person. If it's found out now, the other part of this thing is all kinds of money was spent, all kinds of expenses and resources were poured into this whole thing. All the people who went out there and paraded around the streets and were demonstrating and all the stuff that they were doing. She should have to pay for that out of her own pocket. That should come out of her check for the next 50 years. It was a hoax. She perpetrated it on her own, knowingly and willingly did that. What if someone else had been implicated in that crime? What if it never would have been discovered? And somebody else would have went to jail. An innocent person could have gone to jail. Innocent of, I don't know what. Making a noose. I don't know. It just, see, it's because you become a nuisance. That's what you become. The idea that you can just do this kind of thing and then just walk away from it. I don't know if she's charged with it. I think she's charged with a misdemeanor or something. I'm not sure what she's being. I don't know if she's being charged for anything. I haven't followed up with the case. But the problem is, and here's what really, really bothers me about this stuff. It's People will post this kind of stuff online. They'll make a big deal about it. Oh, look at this. Oh, the right white supremacists are out there. Oh, they're coming to get you. And then when it becomes, when it's found out that it's a hoax, much like this case in Indiana, the same thing that happened down there, you never hear them come back and say, I'm sorry, this was false information. It was wrong. I apologize for posting this. I'll try to vet things better in the future. No, you never hear that. They never say that. They never come back and post a retraction. They never make up. It never happens. They just move on to the next thing. They've already posted 12 other memes by the time they find out that other one was false. They don't care. And you can throw it in their face. You can come back and say, you know, you posted this on your thing, you know, a month ago, and it's been found to be a hoax. It's been found to be false. Well, a lot of times they won't even say anything. It's all their flying monkeys in the room, the people that are all their friends. They're the ones that are going to jump on you. And they're going to make all kinds of now you're the bad guy. It is the weirdest, strangest cult I've ever seen in my life. It is a mental derangement syndrome. There is a serious issue here. And I'm not a psychologist. But I know, I can tell you when somebody's screwed up in the head. Rosie O'Donnell moves to Ireland, because, you know, it's the melting pot of the world, you know. Aye, lady. No, there's this, she moves to Ireland thinking this is going to be where she really can fit in and just, you know, everything's great over there. She gets interviewed on television. And she starts talking about Donald Trump and how the election was rigged. No president has ever won all the swing states. I'm pretty sure that, there were some mixed swing states back in Barack Obama in 2000. First of all, she's wrong. Swing states weren't really swing. Swing states have always been in flux. Some swing states have never been swing states before, and then all of a sudden they become. There are swing states now that weren't swing states, that were totally blue before. Now they're becoming swing states because of Donald Trump. Indiana was a swing state in 2008. No Democrat president has ever won Indiana in my time alive. So should I question the election in 2008 because Barack Obama won? That's their reasoning. Oh, and one of his best friends is he owns the internet. Elon Musk does not own the internet. Now they're the election deniers, and all of a sudden that's okay now, all of a sudden again. Now, Bill Maher didn't even know, believe it or not, he was confronted one time about, I think it might have been Megyn Kelly was confronting him about Hillary Clinton and the fact that she was denying, she came out before the sun rose in 2016, she came out on November 6th or whatever it was, the next day and conceded the election. She never accepted the fact that Donald Trump won legitimately. She kept saying for more than four years, that he was an illegitimate president.
He knows he's not a legitimate president. You can do everything right. You can become the candidate. You can even, you know, be in the election and still get the election stolen from you.
She said it was a stolen election. All the same things that Trump says about the 2020 election, and yet she's okay. He's the criminal. He's the insurrectionist. She bought and paid for the Steele dossier. It was her campaign that did that. She was the one that came up with Russia, Russia, Russia. She was the first one that came out and said, when I first heard her say that, I was like, what is wrong with her? She's off her rocker. And it was adopted by the mainstream media. And the next thing you know, the deep state's all over it. And the thing that bothers me about this is that people don't come back and retract and apologize for anything they say like this, for any kind of false information. That's what bothers me the most. When people make a statement, now you can be wrong. I don't mind if you say something and you're wrong. That's fine, whatever. But when you come out and snap at someone or belittle someone or you start to make accusations towards someone and you don't come back and apologize for that, that's serious. This happened to me. People snap at me and say something. It's, no, you're wrong. And later it's found out that they're the ones wrong. No apology. Nothing. Nothing's ever said. Doesn't, you know, I don't matter. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure I've done that. I'm sure I will probably do that again in the future. I'm just saying it's human nature that we do that kind of thing, but we need to be better than that. Call me out on what happens. But call yourself out on it first. Anyway, so there's this stuff is going on. And in the meantime, getting back to this whole Signal thing with Pete Hegseth. This is one of those situations where somebody screwed up. Either somebody screwed up or they did this intentionally. I don't know which it is. And it's what's interesting about this is in the process of this happening, there's a couple things that have happened recently. One is this Pete Hegseth thing with supposedly the war plans being broadcast to, you know, on this app and somebody getting a hold of it. Now, the person who got a hold of it was a reporter who happened to be in on the chat, who shouldn't have been in on the chat. They were included in the group that he should not have been in there. And he took advantage of this thing. Of course, now this guy's he's a rabid Trump hater, of course, anti-Trumper, happened to be in on this whole thing and then exploited it. Instead of doing the right thing and going to the authorities and saying, hey, you know, the people who are involved in the thing, hey, I shouldn't have this information. Make sure you know, make sure you vet this stuff because I got a hold of this and I shouldn't have this. This is classified stuff here. I don't know if it's classified or not, but anyway, this person exploited the whole thing and put it out there. They got the scoop because they know they got the scoop. It's important that they get the scoop. Made a name for themselves, supposedly. In my opinion, it's a dirty name now. But that's what they did. So they screwed up. So either they screwed up or this. Now, what's interesting in this whole thing is that what has come out of this is that they found out that there's a mole. Someone high up in the Trump administration, someone who's trusted as an advisor in the Trump administration, apparently, who has the president's ear and who talks to the president daily. Apparently, is the one who included this person in that text, in that group. This person is also known as a war hawk, person who's the one person in the group who's pushing for war. Of course, this whole thing revolves around the bombing of Yemen, the war plans that they had there, the plans that they had there for taking some things out preemptively. So what ended up happening in this whole thing? That's almost, you have to sit back and go, is this 4D chess that somebody's playing, or is this something that God just did? Sometimes God does stuff in circumstances that you just don't. You wouldn't have been able to plan it any better. There was something that happened to me one time. Oh, this happened more than once, but this one time is kind of just remembered in my head. It's just one of those things where I walked up and said something. There was these two people having a fairly, I didn't realize they were having a heated discussion. And they were kind of talking. It was the back of a church building. It was a church auditorium. And they're back there talking to each other. And I didn't realize how tense the situation was. I kind of walked up and kind of made this kind of silly joke about something. I guess I didn't realize it at the time. And I kind of made the joke and kind of kind of kept on walking. But as I was walking away, I realized what they were talking about. And the joke I made kind of slammed the whole thing in the face. It was like, I didn't intend to do that. I didn't know I was even being used at that moment by God. But apparently, I just happened. If God would have told me to walk by and say that, I probably would have skirted up. But it was absolutely the thing that needed to be said. On one hand, it defused the situation. At the same time, it just pointed out to the obvious thing that neither one of them wanted to talk about. And I don't even remember the details. I just remember the feeling I had of, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And then I realized, I guess I said that. I guess I was in the right place at the right time with that one. I couldn't have planned that on my own any better than I did. It's just like I could. That was something that was very profound moment. And that's the kind of stuff I think God uses us in that way. That if he told you to show up on the street corner and be here for a certain person and do this and say that, and I would mess it up. I'd be late, or I'd be too early. I'd talk to the wrong person. Something would happen. But he just sees to it that, you know, he knows who we are. He sees to it that we, you know, I know Kevin's going to get out of the house late. I know he's going to, you know, do this, or I know he's going to do that. He's going to mess around and spill his Wheaties, and he's going to have to clean that up. I know he's going to do all this stuff. So I'm going to work all this out so that he shows up at a certain time at that street corner and he says some stupid thing, and it's going to speak to the situation. Or he's going to get in the way of somebody trying to get through an intersection somewhere, and that timing of that's going to save somebody from getting into an accident. You never know. But then, you know, maybe I caused the accident too. I don't know. We never know. It's just the way things get worked out. Anyway, so this situation, it's either somebody planned this to find this mole, or the process has opened it up to the point where they've discovered who this guy is. And they know exactly who it is. Now, this whole thing, it was confirmed, but this whole source, this deal where the other day, Caroline Levitt, I think is the way you pronounce her name. She's the press secretary or whatever she is, the White House spokesperson in the room, the press room. She comes out and she's prepared. She knows what's coming. The news media is all ready to start jumping on this whole thing of Donald Trump and his. They had three things they were going to attack her with. And during the press conference, it was at least two other events that happened. A judge's ruling came out, and then something else came out. So there was two different things that came out. Just breaking news. This just came out. This just happened. Breaking news. And to hear this story, the story is told by this one, what was it I was listening to? Where was it? It was just earlier this morning. I was listening to this. It wasn't Arm Scholar. It was not redacted. Let's see what we got here. This might be it right here. Vince Dayo? No, it wasn't Vince Dayo. I can't find it here right now. But this is it right here. Mega Stories, MEGA Stories. It's an AI voice that does this. That's kind of annoying. This video, it's about 33 minutes long, and I was going to play some of it. You get a chance to check it out. The guy explains the whole thing of what happened in the press room, and it's a very good narration of what actually happened there. And as it unfolded, now Caroline is just, she's brilliant with these. She knows these people. She knows what they're trying to do. She's not playing into their game, first of all. And of course, during this press conference, as they're doing this stuff, as they're coming at her and she's kind of making these accusations, and she throws it right back in their face and saying, you guys, this seems pretty orchestrated. What are you guys doing? I think the American people can see what's happening here. You guys are trying to trap me. You guys are trying to do. She doesn't actually say those exact words, all of a sudden, she steps back from the podium and Donald Trump walks out. And the place erupts. How many times did you see Joe Biden walk into the press room and start answering questions? Did it even happen? It might have happened once during his entire administration. Trump is, you know, he's 2 months in, he's doing this already. And he did this many times last time. He just goes in and starts answering questions. He takes their questions. And of course, they explode, they erupt. For one thing, it makes for good television. They love it for that reason, but they also want to get that, they want to get that shot at trying to trap the president in a question. So they're all throwing these questions out there. And all he does basically, he comes out and says, I just signed this. There are people right now on tarmacs being ready to be flown out of the country. Basically, it's another executive order. And of course, it's I can't remember what it was for. It was something to do with deportations. And it just flies in their face. And they can't stand it because now, see, all these activist judges that are out there, this is another problem. They're trying to act like they are in charge of the president. They can hold the White House hostage, which is what they're attempting to do. They can put this stuff off for about 2 years, which will get us into the midterms. All they have to do is try to, and they're even saying it now. All we have to do is keep fighting and get this president's approval ratings down. If we can get his approval ratings down, then we can win the midterms and we can get him impeached. They're already talking as if he's the most disliked person in the world and all of his policies. Everybody hates his policies and everybody hates the guy. That's not what's happening here. Every time these polls come out, they're like, what is happening? This can't be. DOGE has a 67% approval rating? How can that possibly be? And of course, the way they ask the questions and then the way they frame the answers. This is another thing. When they do these polls, they'll ask somebody a question. Do you think that immigration should be whatever? You know, they'll ask a question and then they come up with, they'll surmise the answer. They'll twist, they'll ask you a question that is different than the answer they're trying to get. So they'll get these answers based on these questions and then they'll surmise and they'll twist the answer into something. Well, people are saying that they love illegal immigration. Had nothing to do with the question. But they craft the question in such a way that they can twist it up. By the way, I just happen to notice this picture. I have a picture of myself standing next to Mike Pence here on my desk. I was traveling last week. I think it was Friday or Saturday. It must have been Saturday. Was it Saturday? I was going from Chicago to Indianapolis. And Mike Pence was on board. And I got to talk to him a little bit. I asked him if he voted for Trump. I didn't ask him that. We didn't talk politics. It was niceties. That's all it was. I said, hey, I'm a fellow Hoosier and appreciate your service as a governor. And had a little chat with him. His son is, I think his son is flying an F-35, I believe. He's a Marine pilot flying an F-35. Now, I flew with a Marine pilot for a while in the corporate world. One of the best guys I ever flew with. He was awesome guy. Probably one of the best jobs I ever had. Not with the best paying jobs I had, but one of the best jobs I ever had as far as working environment. He was just a good guy. And just appreciated the way he treated me and the way he treated others around him. He's just a good guy. Anyway, don't get me wrong. He had his issues. But we all do. But he was really appreciated working with the guy. And he's since passed. But that was 25 years ago. And he was old then. He would be 90 years old now if he was alive. But so his son is a Marine pilot. He was talking about him. He's obviously very proud of his son and was talking about him. So he was kind of an interesting conversation, and he was on his way. But it was nice of him to take the time to actually say hello and got a picture together, me and a couple other guys. This picture with him, and it was interesting. It was a nice little chat I had with. So now I'm buddies with the former Mike Pence, former Vice President of the United States. There you go. Not the one I would prefer to be friends with. But he did it. Let's just say this. He did a great job as governor of Indiana. That's all I'm going to tell you. I have not necessarily, So, he was, I don't know why we're going to get that. So, there's something else I want to talk about in this whole Doge thing. And I think that this video I have that I would like to play is a liberal. If I can find this, where did it go? Is this it right here? Maybe this might be it. Yeah, this is it. Okay.
Paris.
Yeah, this is it. This is a video of this lady who's how do I say, she is she's a liberal. This lady's on the left. Now, I would say she's probably more of an honest liberal. Very rare. It's like a unicorn. But the interesting thing is here, she kind of spells it out. She kind of lays it on the table and she says it like it is. And this is, I think this really, you can tell everybody on this panel, and this is on, I believe it's on CNN, I think. Maybe. I believe that's where it is. Yeah, I think it's where it is. But she kind of spells it out and she tells it like it is. And I think that they have a really hard time with this, but at least she tells the truth about this thing. It's about this whole oligarchy thing. It's an oligarchy. He's a racist and he's an oligarchy and it's there's billionaires. We are living now in an oligarchy. And we're going to talk about this because this is a serious accusation and they keep using this on Donald Trump and Doge and everything else. So let's hear what she has to say.
An irony to Democrats talking about oligarchy because of course for every one billionaire that backed President Trump, Kamala Harris had two. 9 of the 10 richest counties in America are represented by Democrats. 65% of Americans making over $500,000 a year today are Democrats.
65% of all Americans making over $500,000 a year are Democrats. Now, keep in mind, the Democrat Party keeps telling us they're for the working class, they're for the little guy, they're for the, oh, they're out there for the little, you know, this is going to hurt mainstream America, middle America, all this. $500,000 or more a year is not middle class America. So let's keep on going here.
75% of hedge fund managers who make political donations donate to Democrats, and 95% of political donations from the top three management consulting firms go to
Democrats.
Meanwhile, President Trump absolutely crushed with Americans who make under $100,000 a year.
Under $100,000 a year, Donald Trump crushed that demographic. What does that tell you?
Here, the Democrats are the party of the wealthy. And Donald Trump is representing the working class because he simply lifted the pro-worker elements of the Democrats' agenda when they abandoned the working class to cater to their rich base. This is all performance art. And what's so upsetting
political
about it
theater.
Is they are being paid by the American people to serve them, and they are doing nothing of the kind.
She just nailed that.
So... This is by Deo. Not Deo. This is what's the guy's name? Devore. I don't know. Darkens. I like his stuff. He did a great job on this stuff. Yeah, she nails it. Absolutely nails it. For every billionaire that Donald Trump had supporting him, Kamala Trump had two. She spent twice as much money. Now, this is just the campaign and her direct PAC. Twice as much money. I think it was $1.2 billion. I think something like that. Now there was another billion or more spent by NGOs and other PAC groups promoting the Harris campaign. And of course, there was also the money that was transferred over from the Biden administration by the Biden campaign and the DNC money. Over $1.2 billion. Trump spent about $600 million. That was the Trump campaign and everything was spent. She was in office at the time and still lost. And they claim Donald Trump is the oligarchy. That it's, he's just rich and wants to continue making himself rich because he's so greedy. This is how manipulative the guy is. He's so greedy and it's such a charade. He doesn't accept a salary for being president. He donates his salary to charitable causes. His entire salary goes to charitable causes. The other day he found out, someone tried to trick him into this question. These NASA astronauts who were up stuck in space. They're supposed to be there for eight or ten days, on the space shuttle or space lab thing, the International Space Station. Supposed to be there for like 8 days. Ended up there for 360 days or whatever it was. It's almost a year. They were getting per diem. They weren't getting paid to be up there. They weren't getting any overtime. They weren't getting actually. So I don't know how this works. I don't know. Now, I would think that they would, you know, have a book deal and all kinds of other stuff. Of course, they come back down, and the one guy is just preaching scripture like you would believe. He's a fiery little believer. Awesome guy. Every interview he had, he was talking about, you know, he's giving testimony to. Trump found out about this and said, I'm going to look in. I didn't know about this. I'm going to look into this. He goes, I wasn't aware of that. He goes, I'll pay him out of my own pocket if I have to. Because that's just how greedy and, you know, money hungry this guy is. He's just such a greedy man. He's going to pay him out of his own pocket, even though he's not making any money as president. Well, he doesn't have to. He's got all these oligarchs around him. If you know anything about Elon Musk, now there are even people on the left who will talk about this. Bill Maher knew him personally. We're going to talk about the Tesla thing here to finish up here because it needs to be said. Most of the people who here's the weird thing. The Democrats talk about how, well, you know, Trump is out there promoting the Teslas, and Teslas aren't bought by his people. His people only make less than $100,000 a year, most of his supporters, and they're not the people who buy Teslas, and he's out there promoting Teslas. You know, he's not doing any good for his base. I'm like, so you're saying that all the rich people, the people who make all the money, are the smart ones. All these smart people are all leftists. All these highly educated rich people are all leftists, and they're the ones who buy Teslas. So he's really stupid out there trying to promote Teslas. Which is it? Are you for the little guy or are the Democrats the poor people? Or are especially the most vocal ones seem to be the rich? They're either the poor, useful idiots who don't realize they're being played. Or they're the rich class that is virtue signaling, and they're the ones who, and I know some of these people. They jet around the world and have their vacations, and yet they come back and they're the little social justice warriors that talk about how government should pay for everybody's everything. And they also complain about taxes at the same time. But this is just, they won't publicly complain about taxes, of course. The craziness of this whole thing, just the ludicrous mode, the idiocy, just the lack of reasoning and ability to put two things together, just amazes me. But that's what happens here. So now, what we have in this whole Tesla thing is they're out there destroying Tesla cars and making the value of Tesla go down. They're randomly, so you've got, and by the way, a lot of this stuff is being done, bought and paid for by people who are being paid to do these kinds of things. Some of them are. And the demonstrations and a lot of the they've supposedly found that the people who are showing up for most of these rallies, like the one that just happened in Denver recently, or in some place in Colorado, I think it was in Denver. This big rally had 40-something thousand people showed up, and of course they were all these same people. They're finding the same people are at all these rallies all over the country. The same like 80% of them are the same people that are showing up. All the signs seem to, and if you notice, a lot of the signs that look like they're made at the spur of the moment, like somebody took a spray can and just sprayed it on a piece of paper or a piece of poster board. And then what you do is you look around and you find out that there's like 12 or 13 others in the photograph that look exactly the same. It's because these are actually printed, pre-printed to look like they're just made on the spot, because they have to look like it's a grassroots thing. These signs are being passed out. Right on a table. You file by, you get whatever sign you want to carry that day, pull it off the stack, and then you go walk around and carry that. It's because you get off the bus, you get your sign, and you go out there and you start chanting and raving and spread the signs out. It is the call it AstroTurf. It's not grassroots. It's fake. It's synthetic. It's not real. These people are getting paid to do this. Who has time to show up? Who cares about some of the stuff that these people are coming out there and talking about? You got Bernie and AOC that have this rally, and of course I got 32,000 people out there waiting on me. You'd say, okay, so how did you get 30? Well, Donald Trump can't fill up a stadium. Donald Trump filled up several stadiums. He can fill up a stadium. He walked out on the WWE, the WWE thing here the other day. It was like the world competition or the final competition of some kind for some kind of. And the place erupted, cheering for the guy. And it's you don't see that. If Joe Biden would have walked in, they would not have paid any attention at all. Kamala Harris would have walked in, they wouldn't have even given her the time of day. They wouldn't have cared. Mike Pence would have walked in, they wouldn't know what it would know who it was. It's the idea that they think that they just keep on with this rhetoric, and they have no other playbook. They're still saying he's a racist, he's an oligarch, this is an oligarchy, he's a tyrant, he's a dictator, he's a Nazi, he's Hitler. That's all they've got. And they've lost that. They've lost that narrative on the American people. Everybody out there is basically saying, just stop with that. Don't just be the party of anti-Trump. You got to be a party that means get a vision and get out there and do something other than just saying we're gonna protect what you don't protect anything. You don't care about the working class. And now we're finding out that everybody who supports the Democrat Party, pretty much all of them that give they're pretty. It's the rich class. The top 5%. But we're supposed to be convinced that it's just Donald Trump's just all about the rich people. His tariffs are only going to help him and his rich people get richer. It's going to hurt you, and they're going to take away our Social Security, our Medicare, Medicaid. It's going to be gone. That's not what's happening. Look, if we don't do something to get government reined in, I was listening to some guy who was talking about the park rangers and how they're eliminating a lot of park rangers and a lot of park officials and everything else. It's just this guy goes on and then he starts defending the fact that, you know, that we have to have these people because all of a sudden all these resources are going to be gone. We're not going to have – it's not that these resources are necessarily disappearing. What they're doing is they're saying, okay, a lot of this stuff like the Bureau of Land Management and all this other stuff that's out there can be trimmed back, and a lot of the services that are being – we're double dipping here. We're reinventing the wheel in several different organizations where one organization can handle the whole thing instead of just having – so they're passing like the Department of Education, getting rid of that whole thing. I think it's got a budget of like $100 billion a year, some ridiculous amount of money. And it's – where does that money go? It does not – by the way, your local – school does not get money from the Department of Education. There are some grants and there are some things that happen. It just, that's not, but that's not, teachers don't get paid that way. They get paid by your property taxes or whatever it is you pay locally. And it's, they're like, whoa, what's going to happen if we take all that money away? All these resources are going to be gone, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not what happens. Plus, all the services that are being offered by the department, it's going to go back to, guess where it started from? Health and Human Services. Health and Human Services are going to take care of all the things that the Department of Education is taking care of now that need to be taken care of. In other words, guess who started? And guess when the Department of Education started? Under President Carter. Every time they start an organization like this, you have to understand, whether it's Homeland Security, whether it's the TSA, all this stuff, that all provides funding, all this money that's in the budget to make all this stuff happen, there's always this spillover. There's always this spinoff, and everybody dips their toe in it, and it goes back to lobbyists who then pay under the table and make these deals under the table with politicians. There's this slush money slushing around out there. Now, tomorrow I'm going to talk about inflation and what that all means and why some of these sanctuary cities now are struggling so much and why inflation in sanctuary cities is so much higher. Cost of living is so much higher because of sanctuary cities. We're going to talk about that and the whole basics of economics. One thing I do understand, I'm not an economist, but I do understand economics. I've just got a knack for understanding it. We'll spell it out tomorrow in a way that hopefully, if nothing else, there's some other big news that pops up. But I do want to talk about this whole thing of economics because it is very important we understand what it is and why it is that when government prints money or when government gives money away and when government does things like this, that it causes so many issues for those of us who are just around working in kind of a static position and situation, and all of a sudden prices start going up and it's, you know, and our wages aren't going up. I'd rather have my wages go up and not have prices go up. I'd rather have no wage increase and have prices go down. That's what I'd really rather have. People don't understand that. It's just if cost of living goes down and my wages stay the same, I can now save more and my dollar goes further. That's what I would rather have instead of just, well, I just have to keep making more money so that I can pay the higher prices. No, that's backwards, folks. That is absolutely backwards. And it's because you can. Yeah. All right, so let's just call it a show. I'm just going to call it a show. It's a show. There you go. It's a show. I do have some more video, some audio from video that I would like to play the rest of the week. I'm going to try to put more of this together for you, see how it goes. But I might have a live show this week at some point. Now, Rumble, I guess, is kind of Steven Crowder has actually gone completely 100% to Rumble now, which is interesting. Now, he still plays stuff on what's called Crowder Bits on YouTube. But he's not doing his live show on YouTube anymore. As I understand it, yesterday was the first day hasn't been putting out a show. So we'll see what happens with all that. There's still a lot of money to be made on YouTube, believe it or not. I can't make it because I'm shadow banned. I'm gone. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for this, all this stuff to continue to keep coming out, finding the moles, finding the issues. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for listening.